SIWRadio from SecurityInfoWatch.com, and we're going to do something a little bit different this time, and by that we mean we actually bring in Steve Lasky of Security Technology and Design. Steve, how are you?
I'm very good, and it's my first appearance on SIW Radio, so this is kind of cool.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Steve, of course, is the, everybody knows Steve. Steve's the editor, chief, and publisher of Security Technology and Design, and probably been around security for, gosh, I don't know, what, 30 years?
Not that long. But 22, but that's okay.
22, but getting closer to 30 every day.
Yeah, it feels like it. Let's put it that way.
And, of course, we got Kevin Beaver of Principal Logic and the Security on Wheels audio program series. And, Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
So the reason we brought on Kevin and Steve today is to talk a little bit about convergence. And I wanted to kick off this podcast with a read from an article by Tim Mather. And Tim Mather is the chief security strategist for the RSA conferences. And he's, of course, been following what's going on in convergence and certainly the IT side, but apparently he's been following the physical security side as well. And what he says is this, and it's kind of a critique of what's happening in convergence. He says, on the physical security side, all we saw was migration, moving physical security sensors from standalone communications to IP networks. The only, quote, convergence here is a common migration to IP networks. He goes on to say, what had been proprietary data formats over proprietary communications has now become proprietary over IP, which he terms as P over IP, kind of like VoIP, kind of like that. To date, the physical security sensor vendors have ignored many of the lessons learned on the information security side, the notion that proprietary equals evil while open standards are good. So I'm going to throw that out there. That's a pretty broad statement and a pretty telling critique of our industry. Steve, what do you think? Do you agree?
Well, to an extent, I think from the standpoint of where physical security vendors are today and knowing where they need to be tomorrow, I think there certainly is that seed of anticipation of bringing standards, open architecture, and interoperability to what is now basically software products that they're delivering. But the reality of it is right now is we're still looking at an industry that pretty much still embraces the proprietary notion. And I think that partly is because we're in a situation where we've had so much conglomeration of big companies coming on in and bringing smaller companies into the fold. And they're still trying to get their hands around how to incorporate the smaller companies that they've assimilated into their corporate structure, much less, you know, go out and work with strategic partners in creating a standard and an interoperability platform. And two, it's that old physical security notion of, you know, you have to have a differentiator. And because basically you're dealing with a lot of technologies that are very similar, and that differentiator is having one little proprietary quirk that makes you unique in a very crowded field. Doesn't matter if you're dealing with DVR technology, access control, visitor ID management, but you know the vendors still need to hold onto that security blanket of having that one proprietary quirk to make them a unique player in the sales landscape.
Kevin, to turn that around, and of course you've been watching the IT industry for a long time and working directly inside of information technology. Was there a point at which the information technology industry also faced such a problem, that it was really very proprietary in its systems?
Yeah, I think about 10 years ago, about 10 maybe 15 years ago, when networks were just sort of coming about and operating systems, and we're trying to figure out how to manage all these users and applications on the network, I saw a lot of that stuff with the big players, even with Microsoft and Cisco and Novell. They had their own proprietary thing. They weren't really talking to each other, and really not until I guess sort of the internet boom back in the late 90s, early 2000s, did we start seeing some integration and people starting to talk to each other. And hey, we realize we have all these disparate systems that need to talk to one another. How are we going to make this work? So I think it's a sort of the same story. And sort of getting back to the original question, I think there's a general sense of apathy, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of deal within the industry. So not that it's a bad thing. It's just part of growing and pulling all this technology stuff together to make it work.
And maybe we're hitting that point that the information technology industry, did 8, 9, 10 years ago. Now we are talking about putting things over the network. And even though, as Mather says, maybe it is proprietary over IP, maybe that's the first stage of getting it to become non-proprietary. It's just creating some sort of converged communications pathway. I mean, do you agree with that? That could really move us forward and out of these proprietary systems?
Yeah, I think so. I think if anything, it's getting the physical folks talking to the IT folks. It may still be proprietary. It may not be. It may not talk well with other systems or integrate all that nicely into existing networks. But at least the corporate security folks, the physical security folks, are talking to IT and the information security departments now, and they're sort of getting those cogs rolling.
And Jeff, I mean, I think when we start talking about convergence, it truly takes on a lot of layered implications. And from my standpoint, the convergence is certainly a lot more than just technology. The fact that, like Kevin said, we're getting two traditionally disparate silos in an enterprise not talking to each other. We're now looking at CSOs and CISOs that are putting together aligned business plans to help mitigate risk in the enterprise. So there certainly is an understanding that if we're not going to get our technology platforms converged in the very near future, we certainly need to have our budgets, our business ethics, our risk mitigation plans, and our strategic outlook for 5 years and more converge so that we're all working towards the same goal.
But I still think this kind of goes back to the original deal that I've written about in the magazine. It's the whole notion of IT not necessarily wanting to talk to the physical folks, and then the physical folks not knowing how to talk to the IT folks, and there's a lot of ego there on the IT side. There's a lot of structure and procedures and business orientation on the physical side, and those two have tended not to mesh well in the past.
Steve, you just got back from the Interop show. How was that?
It was interesting. I mean, it was certainly a large show. I mean, it was the size of if our audience is familiar with the ISC West show, which certainly most of them probably are. It was pretty much to that scale. But it was interesting to see that I thought most of the attendees were more of the administrative type. I don't think there were really a lot of decision makers there as far as folks buying and buying technology. So you had a lot of folks there that were the worker bees. And I think that definitely with the customer, with the clients that I saw, with some of the bigger companies that were exhibiting, that sort of was represented by the fact they didn't have a lot of their marketing people there, that they certainly had the technology folks there to talk about technology. But, I sort of felt like a fish out of water. We have done convergence shows or events, at Security Tech with our Secure World Partnership and with our Global Security Operations 2010 shows. But this was very much an IT networking show. I know one of the security publications had a small pavilion where they had companies like Hirsch and Prevaris there as vendor partners on the physical side, and I don't think there was really a lot of a lot of traffic for them to go after and talk to. And that was certainly the case when I talked to, you know, some of the companies that were there from the physical side, that they, you know, felt a little out of place.
Does that mean that maybe convergence isn't building as quickly as maybe we thought it would?
I just think this shows that there certainly are two separate technology arenas. And although, you know, there's going to be there'll be a 30% overlap in a concentric circle, there's still going to be disparate technology practitioners and vendors. And they'll meet when they have to, and that'll be on the network. But IT administrators, except for those that are worried about high-volume network issues, really don't care about physical access control, card management, closed-circuit television issues, and, you know, vice versa. You know, the physical security people are not going to be dealing with the IT worker bees.
They do. I will say that the IT folks will mind if the physical and corporate security folks come to them and say, hey, we want to put this on the network.
Sure.
Because they're often territorial with that kind of stuff.
Very much so.
One of the ideas that's come out is that we've all talked about a little bit, I think, in previous articles, podcasts, et cetera, is the concept of converged access control. It's been one of the big suppositions of, you know, technology convergence, is that you could, you know, recognize whether someone's in the building and if they're on the network. And if they're not in the building, should they be on the network? Or if they're out of the building, maybe they should be on a different way to get into the network. Was there much interest in that that's in the IT world at Interop or Kevin? Are you seeing much interest in that otherwise?
The whole event correlation, security, event management or incident management, I know it's trying to get some traction out there. Of the customers that I go into when I'm performing security assessments, you know, one of the interview questions is, you know, what are you doing for log management and event correlation and whatnot, and looking at those technologies to see if they're actually working. But by and large, I'm not seeing a lot of it out there. You know, the people know that they need to be doing it. People know that it can add value to reduce business risk, but I'm still not seeing a lot of it out there. And I think it's a couple things. I think administrators don't have enough time to take on something new like that, and I think there's a certain cost component involved as well.
Certainly, is a cost for the administrators. I mean, there's certain, like Kevin said, I mean, there certainly are some single sign-on initiatives that are out there, and I think that's certainly the next progression and the most logical progression. For interoperability between logical and physical security. I mean, it makes perfect sense to have a single sign-on solution where you can get into the building, get onto the computer, and then audit yourself both on the network and throughout the building. I think that is where we're headed. And there are some working installations and applications out there that are already doing that. And, you know, certainly there is some of that in the education sector, some of it in healthcare, but again, not a lot right now in the corporate sector.
I will say that I came across an interesting single sign-on solution recently. I was performing a security assessment, and all of the video cameras around that entire campus all had the same username and password, the default username and password, and it really helped facilitate single sign-on, especially for me as a security tester, and really for anyone who wanted to come in and launch an attack on this particular campus, which was, you know, is vulnerable to that type of stuff.
I mean, it's funny. It almost gets back to the old days when access control cards and systems were first installed on college dorms, and they're great if people use them. But the bottom line is most college students, you know, the first person who comes in, they're going to stick a chair by the door, prop it open for the rest of their buddies to come in. So again, your system's only as good as the protocols, procedures, and the people who use it.
I love that story of the single sign-on, which one default password threw out there. Kevin, was that system being managed by the IT department or the physical security department?
It was being managed by IT, but monitored by physical. And yeah. Nobody bothered to notice that everything was still at the default.
So we can probably assume that was probably set up by the the integrator in charge of the project.
It was.
Probably needed handed it over to the information technology department, and I guess wasn't followed up as a project to manage all those passwords.
Absolutely, and that sort of leads me to a new thought related to all this. Speaking of vendors and integrators, there's a lot of people implementing equipment and technologies out there that are just throwing it in right off the shelf, no tweaking, no hardening or anything like that, and that's something that the vendors can use as a value proposition. Oh, hey, by the way, we're not just going to install this on your network. It's actually going to be hardened from attack. It's going to be secure, and it's just the right thing to do.
It is. I mean, there could be, and I'll just speculate about this. There could be. I mean, we talk about convergence, and what would the role of a CSO do, or just a joint team that involves information technology and the physical security department. And one thing might be to better management of installing companies that are working on these corporate facilities. I mean, obviously the passwords of the network video cameras is a perfect example, but certainly there are a lot of systems out there are still set up with common passwords into some of these big access control systems.
Absolutely.
So. Well, we have a little bit of an update on convergence. It sounds like the gears are grinding. We've got some hurdles. We've got to still face some proprietary systems. But maybe it's working. What do you think?
I think it's evolving.
I think it's evolving, and another element to add to your equation there, there's some egos, and there's politics, and there's culture to throw in on top of all that.
And the bottom line is, and we've addressed this in the magazine, and you've addressed it, Jeff, as well, is any type of convergence, and again, it's an overworked term now, but any type of convergence in any vertical market has to start at the C-level and work its way down. You got to build it from it's got to be a cultural environment. It's got to be accepted, and if you don't have buy-in at the top, then any type of strategy is not going to work.
Well put. And again, Kevin Beaver, principallogic.com, also a writer and contributor to Security Technology and Design, and Steve Lasky, publisher, editor-in-chief of Security Technology Design, on here for episode 28. Well, thank you, Steve and Kevin, and I'll let you get back to your day.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
So from that discussion with Kevin Beaver and Steve Lasky, I want to jump into a discussion I had at the IFSEC trade show in May over in Birmingham, England, with Jonas Anderson, who is the Director of Business Development for Access Communications. At that show, you had three companies, Sony, Bosch, and Axis, jointly announced that they were going to work on a framework for IP video surveillance standards. And not only did it sound good for those three companies, but I spoke with some of the video management software companies, and they were very intrigued by this idea as well. So I think this goes back to Tim Mather's point that our industry, the physical security industry, had done some proprietary over IP type systems. And he's probably right to say that. So this was particularly noteworthy that three of the largest video surveillance firms in the world were partnering to create some sort of framework for standards. So I thought we'd go ahead and bring on Jonas onto the program here from this interview at IFSEC, because I think it relates exactly to this whole discussion of standards and convergence that we've been addressing today. Jonas, I wanted to talk about really the video standards.
Yep.
That you guys are working on with Bosch and with Sony. So
yes.
why Axis, Bosch, and Sony? What's kind of the reasoning behind that?
I mean, if you're going to set the standard, it's important that you get a broad coverage in the industry. And I mean, Axis, Bosch, and Sony are one of the five largest vendor on network video products. I mean, that it's a great foundation for creating such a standard.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, it's good to get an impact on the standard, I would say.
And as far as the standards, as I understand, there's going to be some of the goals are device discovery.
Yep.
Correct? What else?
Video streaming, intelligent metadata.
Okay.
I'm thinking about as well. PTZ and I mean, general thing in communicating with this. But I mean, the first use case you can think about is, of course, the discovery, making sure you get a video stream from each product, no matter what brand it is.
It sounds almost like the real goal here is not to make your lives necessarily easier as product vendors, but more for the companies like the Genetechs, the Milestones,
definitely,
the CNLs, I guess, of the world, right?
Yeah. Those are a big, important party in this cooperation. Making it easier for them because today they implement each brand, support for each brand. But it's also, I mean, integrators, mm-hmm. they have big systems, it's easier to interchange product, and especially for the end users, I would say. I mean, it's more easy to specify a product, you don't need to go into the exact brand.
Right, and I guess if the product came off the network and needed to come back in, then you get to back to the problem of, do you have to, you know, how do you re-enter it into the system, recognize it? Is part of the idea that it would auto recognition of devices?
Yeah, the idea is that it should be some kind of discovery mechanism. It's not decided yet exactly how that will be, but if, I mean that's what we're looking into. If there's a standard we can use already, we will do that. Or otherwise, we need to look into it.
At the press conference earlier today, some of the questions were raised were about other standards groups.
Yeah.
Were you guys seeing this type of initiative occurring from any of the standards groups, really, in terms of creating this?
What we've seen is like SIA in U.S. They have created a standard now, right now for more, I would say, the interface requirements, what should be communicated. They haven't been into the level where how it's done.
And that's the level you want to get into.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing right now. So, I mean, we are looking into that standard. They have defined on the what to communicate. I mean,
so we're obviously a notoriously competitive industry.
Yeah.
Have been for a long time. I guess that's why the security industry has kind of been good business.
Yeah.
And right now, I mean, as I understand it, you're, again, Axis, Sony, and Bosch, and then looks like in the fall, once you have some of the initial framework, it sounds like you laid out, then invite other members.
Oh, yes.
What do you anticipate the response from the industry to be?
I'm sure that they will be interested in being in participating in this kind of work, because we, as I mentioned earlier, we have discussions with different companies, and that's how this arose. But I mean that we know that there are others that are interested in doing some kind of standardization. It has not been done. That's the issue today. I mean,
Would it be open to the consultants and the integrators as well, or would it be mainly driven by the vendor community?
No, it will definitely be open for others as well. The main purpose will be, or the main idea is that if someone can contribute with something, then they will be able to join as well. So it's not only a vendor thing.
Okay.
And it could be other interested group. I mean, SIA would like to be in part of our, or we, how we cooperate. Other organizations as such could also be participating.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly could use a few more standards in this industry. So
yeah.
It's getting there.
So. Yeah.
And again, big thanks to Jonas Anderson, Director of Business Development for Axis Communications, to speak about what Axis, Sony, and Bosch are doing to create a framework for network video standards. That wraps up episode 28 of SecurityInfoWatch.com's SIW Radio podcast series. Before I go, I should mention a couple things. One, our next episode, we'll be back with a security dealer and integrator partnership roundtable. We're going to be bringing in some of the top integrators to talk about how they do partnerships. And if you ever need to get in touch with us, send us a note at podcast@securityinfowatch.com. That's podcast@securityinfowatch.com. Until next time, be safe and stay secure.